Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Hi, my name is Eric Hill, my co-host Hakeem Adey, and you are listening to 5G Sports Talk. Today, we're going to chop it up real big, talking NBA, what Mark Cuban had to say, Hall of Fame class, and Melo on fire, the Denzel of the NBA right now. Also, talking starting five of the Dallas Mavericks all time, as well as Byron Scott's future. We discussed it on last Monday's show. We're going to go a little more in depth because Cleveland has lost their mind. Also, NFL, hey, looks like the NFL is competing with the couch. We're going to talk about that in depth. Cameras in the locker room, good idea or bad? Also, Jamarcus Russell, can he really make it a comeback? And also, Damaris Smith is starting to echo the very same thing we've said on our show a few weeks ago a day about are the owners conspiring to dwarf players in free agencies' contracts? Now he's finally catching wind. Hey, we've been on it, DeMarcus. Where you been? 5G, baby. Get up on us. Also, Brian Banks, a young man we spoke about a few months ago. He was wrongfully in prison on rape charges, was freed, had a couple of tryouts with some teams. Well, he just signed a new contract. Don't get too ahead of yourself. It's a preseason contract. But we're going to go into depth on that, as well as other sports like Auburn is now in trouble. And what happened to Rutgers University? Head coach, what do you have for us today, Adey?
Well, of course, in the wonderful world of sports, indeed, we have much, much, much sports in to chat about. And, of course, we can talk about the newest odd couple, Tom Brady and Terrell Owens sightings. Yes, dare I say it? And what does Jay-Z and Victor Cruz have in common? We will discuss that. Oh, yes. And there's deal or no deal. The Chiefs are talking with Brandon Albert. We're going to talk about the host, him hosting a contract standoff. Yes, it's going on. And, yes, we're going to chat it up about former Jets GM, what's in the mix, some of the behind-the-scenes things going, some business moves that are being made. J.J. Watt makes a statement about health that may catch people's attention and make you say, George Maloff in the NBA owner, he wants to move forward with the Seattle situation. We're going to talk about that. And Bo Jackson speaks on Derrick Rose not playing at this moment. He has some interesting perspective to share about Derrick Rose that I found quite informative. Coach is on the hot seat. We will talk about that. Melo Man heats up, as you said. Man on fire. We will get into that. Clippers earning their franchise record 50th win. That's big. Tough injuries. There's quite a plethora of injuries around the league in the NBA. Yeah, the injury woes continue. And, yes, of course, much, 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 much more sports talk in store, because I'm sure we have to put some baseball on tap as well.
Yes, we do. We're going to put some on tap as well. No doubt about that. Let's give you guys a head up. We might roll into overtime tonight because there is so much to cover. Since Monday till today, a lot has gone on. So we're going to hit it hard and heavy. Just to let you know, this show is definitely brought to you by cloud77pro.com. For all of your business needs and graphic design, website design, flyers, business cards, you think of it, they can make it. Been in the business for over 10 years, so definitely check them out at their website, cloud77pro.com. That is the business to do. If you have a business or church, personal needs, definitely go check them out. You can also like them on Facebook, and you can follow them on Twitter. Also, this is Autism Awareness Month. Autism Awareness Month. So, with that said, I'm continuing on with my urgent campaign to you all to get the word out. A friend of mine is creating a documentary speaking about childhood autism. Definitely fun, help funding that. But we do need you all's help as well. You can go to our website at www.5gsportstalk.com. You can go, and he has a little trailer right there explaining his documentary and the aims and goals of his documentary. After you listen to that, you know, underneath there will be a link where you can click to go donate. Any amount would do, $5, $10, $20, whatever you can spare will be much be appreciated. It is definitely going towards creating a documentary for an awesome cause. It is backed by a nonprofit organization as well. So trust me, none of the money is going into their pocket for profit. It's all going to the film to make sure we give out the best quality product to you all and to everyone else for education on childhood autism. CDC reported that one in every 53 children suffer from autism. That's a lot of kids. If you look at a school that has roughly 800 kids in it. Now you multiply that about with all the schools in the area, in your area. That's not including your county or state, just your immediate area. So this is something we all do need to get behind and just show some support. We are making good headway on it, but hey, this is National Autism Awareness Month. So hey, make it be known, make voices count. But also a shout out to a lot of our followers on Twitter. Our Twitter followers keep growing. Some people fall off, but they end up coming back. Got a couple of celebrities following us. Mitch Richmond, we're gonna talk about him because the Hall of Fame class is being announced, or is being people are having good speculations who's gonna be a first round ballot. His name hasn't came up on one, but we definitely pulling for him. He's a good guy. Also, E Squared out in New York. He's a local DJ out there. He plays at the Barclays Center. What a beautiful place. He sent me some pictures. It's a great place. Definitely check him out on Twitter @E_Square. And a whole host of other people. Just go to our Twitter page and you'll see it. And yes, our Twitter page @5GSportsTalk. Definitely go there, and you can like us on Facebook. And also join our 5G Sports Roundtable. I know I haven't been mentioning it a lot lately, but it's a lot of members going in there. Got a good chat going on right now about the Knicks and Pacers, seeming like 1990 all over again, the rivalry maybe renewed. So definitely join us. We broadcast every Monday and every Thursday at 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time and every Sunday on the JQ Network at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So I don't think I missed anything. I missed anyone. Oh, yes, we also do. You can find all our past shows on our website at 5GSportsTalk.com. Also, download free on iTunes. And you can make your way up to RF Sports Radio. We also broadcast there as well. So now, all the announcements without any further ado.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Yes, let's get ready to get it on. Talking NBA right now. I don't know, but has Mark Cuban lost his mind? Recently, Mark Cuban came out and said that he would draft Brittany Griner. Now, I'm not saying Brittany Griner can't play basketball, but in the NBA, she would get absolutely destroyed because she's not strong enough, fast, or quick enough to compete at that level with men. She's definitely head over heels above her peers in the WNBA when she gets there, 6'8". She's going to be that one. But Mark Cuban saying what he said, do you think that was a backhanded comment or just backhanded altogether? What do you think of that?
I think it was just typical Mark Cuban. Typical Mark Cuban. That's all I think it was. I take Mark serious when he's, you know, doing business moves or shark tanking or something like that. But but as far as some of his, you know, off the wall comments, that's kind of his thing. So, there's some times when he'll say something that might catch the the radar every now and then. But comments like that seems more like PR, attention type of discussion. So.
Yeah, I agree. But, I mean, you know, sometimes you just need to shut up. I hear you, you know, he wants the PR attention and everything. But what kind of attention is he really getting? Is he getting that, oh, man, you're stupid attention? Or, hey, you know what? That makes some sense. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like this, man. You don't want to be that. You know, we talk about, you know, the thing about young girls wanting to get attention. They'll do stupid things to get attention. And when they realize it's stupid, it's too late. Well, that's Mark Cuban. Don't be that young, stupid girl. Please, don't be her. Because right now, it just take away all credibility that he do have when he says something serious. You know, it's like, is he being serious or is he joking? And honestly, I think with that comment he made, I really do believe he was serious. That's why he needs to seriously sit his behind down and just shut up. Brittany Griner, we all know Baylor's season came to end. Her career in college came to an end. I will say this. She would make an NBA. Just take away the physical aspect of it, okay? Brittany Griner really can't shoot. She doesn't really have a real low post move because she never had developed when she was literally taller than everybody. She could just turn around and shoot right over her. So, him going that far, shame on you, Mark. Shame on you. What's this about Bo Jackson and Derrick Rose?
Oh, well, you know, it was a very, very interesting article I came across recently, and what Bo Jackson basically said, and I'm going to read the article. The headliner is Bo Jackson, Bulls Rose wise not to rush return. Bo knows Derek is what it says, and it says that Bo Jackson, the former Chicago White Sox and Kansas City Royal outfielder who threw out the first pitch Monday at the U.S. Cellular Field, defended Bulls star Derrick Rose for taking the deliberate course back to the court after ACL surgery last May. He stated that, "I am quite sure that Derrick is going to come back when he needs to," Jackson told reporters in the press box during a wide-range conversation. I couldn't say either way whether he should or not. Derek will know when it's time to come back. I think he has handled it very well. It seems like the people who are having fits about this are you guys. Derek has handled it well. He is a new dad and seems happy. Why push it? Between the media and the public pushing him, he should come back. He should come back. What if he did come back and re-injure himself? Then you're going to point fingers at the staff of the Bulls saying he shouldn't have come back. You guys can't have it both ways. Let him heal. Come back home, and when he comes back home, welcome home. Jackson, who developed sports complexes in the Midwest, said he pays little attention to professional sports. And I'm just going to leave it right there. But I personally thought it was quite interesting, being that it came from a veteran who has literally suffered career-ending injuries. And so I just thought that stood out to me, you know, when he spoke on it. And I thought it was interesting, so I thought it was definitely worth sharing with the audience. What's your thoughts on Bo Jackson's perspective?
You know, I'm going to say this before I go any further. I'm a huge fan of Bo Jackson. I think Bo Jackson is one of the greatest athletes, not football, baseball player, one of the greatest athletes to ever play. Hands down, I'm not even going to debate that, okay? I remember the Bo Knows commercials. You know, Bo knows this, Bo knows that. Well, Bo needs to know not to talk. I don't agree with nothing Bo Jackson said, and I'm going to tell you why. I know we all are different. I know that everybody heals differently in their own time, so on and so forth. I get you on that. But I'm still of the mindset, and I may be just stubborn in my ways and may just be wrong, but I don't think I am. Amon Shumpert suffered an ACL, same injury as Derrick Rose. Amon Shumpert is a defensive player, and anyone that knows basketball knows it's harder to play defense than offense because you have to read and react to whatever the guy in front of you is doing all the time. It's a ton of lateral movement. Mind you, Shumpert's a shooting guard. He plays the shooting guards. He's a shooting guard, DF shooting guard, sometimes small forwards. It's a lot of lateral movement that goes on playing defense at the guard position. That's a lot of ACL movement. And he has not yet to even look like he slowed down. He's getting stronger. He's gotten a lot better. His defense is almost on point as it was last year before the injury and the year before. So I look at Amon Shumpert. Wow. He came back. Mind you, he got hurt around the same time Derrick Rose did as well. Let's take it to another sport where that part of your body is getting hit a lot. Don't let RG3 come back and he's healthy. Please don't let that happen. Because if it do, I'm going to say, Derrick, what took you so long? We all know about Adrian Peterson. He is a freak of nature. He can be. He's probably that one in a million, that outlier that's out there. But if it happens again and again and again, then you got to ask, why is this happening? Michael Crabtree had an ACL tear as well. He played last year. Darrell Revis had an ACL tear. If he comes back this year, plays well. I'm just going to have the fingers point at Derrick Rose. I honestly believe with Derrick Rose that all of it is really mental. Because I'm going to tell you this. With the ACL injury, if he comes back next year, there's no guarantee he won't blow it out next year. Look at Amari Stoudemire. You see what I'm saying? He just can't recover from it. And all I'm saying is, if it's either today, tomorrow, or next season, if he's going to tear his ACL again, he's going to tear it again. Because the thing about the ACL, it's either strong or it's weak. Period. It's either strong or it's weak. If it's weak a year from now, it means it was weak today. Regardless. Do you see what I'm saying? That's the whole thing. I just want Derrick Rose to go out there. Work on the first 5 minutes of the game. I'm not saying play the whole game. Go to first and say, hey, coach, don't even let him start. He ain't got to start. Come off the bench, run him for the first two possessions. If he gives you the nine, he's still feeling okay, cool. Leave him out there a little longer. If he can go a whole quarter, he says, I'm feeling really good, let him play the next quarter. Don't let him play the whole game. I won't let him play the whole game. The fourth quarter, he's sitting down. I just want him to see where he's at. We want to know where he's really at. Let him build that confidence in his own, in his leg. Now, after the first few possessions, and he's like, you know, I'm not feeling cool, pull him out. Cool, I'm fine with that. But the thing is, just find out where you are. Because you may say, I'm not ready today. What the hell make you think you're going to be ready tomorrow? The only way you're going to know, you're going to have to go out there and test it out just to see. And that's all I'm asking. So like with Bo Jackson, I hear Bo Jackson say, but Bo Jackson's injury, he lost a step. And first of all, Bo Jackson need not talk. Because Bo Jackson suffered a horrendous injury that ended his football career. You see what I'm saying? But did that stop Bo Jackson from getting back out there on the field playing? As far as football, they wouldn't even let him come back out there. But as far as sports altogether, did that stop him? Because in baseball, you still got to run. He played outfield. You see what I'm saying? He still has to use his leg to get him to point A to point B. So that's what I'm saying. Bo, you didn't let that stop you. You was out there the first chance you had. And that's what I'm saying. Derrick, just get out there the first chance you have and just see. Just see where you at. That's all.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. You make a great argument, and I would not say that you are not right to have that, you know, welcome to have that opinion, that perspective. I'm looking at Shumpert's numbers, and I'm comparing his stats before injury.
Uh-huh.
And I've noticed he's taken a nice little step back. And just looking at his numbers, you know, because I know he's a defensive guy, so I'm really focused, honing in on his defense. in comparison to, you know, before his injury, his numbers reflect somebody who's, they haven't improved. They went backwards. And so, you know, I know his minutes that went down.
Mm-hmm.
His steal ratio has decreased.
Mm-hmm.
His field goal percent, well, he's not an offensive guy anyway, but it's suffered. So every area I'm looking at on his stats has
mm-hmm.
taken a hit. The only area that he might have improved in, well, no, that's not even considered improvement. But I was gonna say considering the turnover ratio an improvement, but actually I'm looking at the numbers and it doesn't look like that improved. So, and that's just one player, but you know I'm looking at a couple of guys who came back from pretty big injuries just in the NBA alone. I'm just honing in on the NBA. That were in similar condition. And if I compare their numbers beforehand and now, I definitely noticed a difference. I agree that, you know, a Derrick Rose at some point, you know, and I'm not saying this season, but at some point is obviously he's definitely going to have to play. In order to work on his leg and whatnot. I was one who said I felt like, you know, he should just take the season off. That was just my opinion from day one. I haven't changed that, and I looked at it from several perspectives. I looked at the consistent injuries that he had, because he had a couple of injuries before he had the serious one, and so I looked at the ankle, I looked at the knee, I looked at some of the other little injuries that was hitting him, particularly last season before he got the dreaded ACL. And so I personally, when I looked at the Bulls, when I recalled that the GM in the front office openly stated that this was going to be a wash season, they pretty much said, you know, we don't intend on competing for a championship openly, and that for me was mind-boggling, because I, you know, to admit that they're not chasing rings, to me, that's a red flag in itself. But I'm not going to even go into that part. But when I heard that, then I looked at the roster right now and how many men are down, not just throughout the entire NBA, but just on the Bulls roster alone. Because, you know, like 50%, I say 50% of their roster has been down, it seemed like, for most of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I just personally thought that it would be better for him to just wait to the next season. I don't personally see the benefit of a Derrick Rose playing this season at all for him or the Bulls. I just don't see the benefit of having Derrick Rose on the court. As a fan, I would like to see a healthy Derrick Rose playing on the court, just from enjoying watching him as a player. I would like to see him healthy, you know, playing on the court. But to be honest, I'm not missing like him being on the floor, knowing that he not only is he dealing with the injury, but looking at the Bulls as a whole, how they competed, they won tonight, but they've been hampered with a lot of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still trying to figure stuff out, and I think that there are going to be a lot of questions that and a lot of things that that they need to address as a franchise going forward. Anyway, they're going to have to make some hard decisions with personnel on this roster if they really want to be competitive and to be able to deal with injuries and the things that's been happening them with this season to compete against that going forward. They're gonna have to ask themselves some hard questions like who do you need to get rid of? Who do you need to trade?
Well, I'm gonna say this, two things. One, Tom Thibodeau needs to cut down their minutes. He's overworking. That's just it. That helps lead to injuries. Number two, Joakim Noah, who was one of the biggest injury guys, he likes to play through injuries. When you hurt, you hurt. Go sit down. You know. But even he stays out there and try to give everything he got. Hint, Derrick Rose. Amon Shumpert, you hit on Amon Shumpert's stats. The difference between Amon Shumpert's stats from his rookie year to this year is that last year, he ran point guard alongside with Jeremy Lin. So he had the ball in his hand as well. So that's one reason for his numbers. But this year, he doesn't have the ball in his hands at all because the Knicks have quite a few guards in the backcourt now. And also the fact that he's never been, how can I say, that guy you would trust with the offense in his hand. And a lot of his minutes was cut. He lost 7 minutes. That's another big thing. When you lose 7 minutes of playing time, you know, that's still opportunity. That's almost a whole quarter right there he lost. So, yeah, a lot of his numbers are going to be down because he's playing less minutes. But he wasn't an offensive presence or player to begin with. He was strictly defense. That's why a lot of teams, before the trade deadline, was trying to see if they can get him. Because teams don't trade for broken players. And a lot of teams were showing interest in Amon Shumpert because he showed he can play defense. And another thing about steals is one of them funny stats. People think, this guy got a lot of steals. He must be a good defender. No, he's not. If you got a lot of steals, that means you take a lot of risk. That's what steals mean. Steals mean I take a lot of risk. And the thing about risk, a lot of you get burned more often than you succeed. So I'll take a guy that may average a steal a night. But is his man staying in front of him? Of course. Because when you go for a steal, especially at a two-guard position, a lot of those guards can dribble. You reach, they will teach. You know, play the passing lanes and whatnot. So, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why his numbers are down. The rotation has changed. His role on the team has changed. He's not also playing offensive defense.
So you think
he's just
his defense has been as good this season as last year?
Yeah, his defense is just as good because he's not surrendering a lot of points to whoever he's guarding. That's the thing.
Yeah, the effort, but, I mean, do you think he's had the same impact as last season?
To an extent, yeah, because the thing is, they're not putting him on. First of all, the fact that they got Jason Kidd there, who's one of the best, you know, savvy defensive players to play the game, he helps. He takes a lot of pressure and go after those point guards. Jason Kidd is not mobile as far as running through screens and chasing people down. He's the guy that's going to play the point guard because you know he has the ball, you know where he's at, so he can guard that guy. Amon Shumpert, he's running through screens, he's running through picks, he's still keeping up with his man. He's not surrendering a lot of points to whoever he's guarding. Yes, he's not stealing the ball a lot, but I don't care. I don't care about steals. Steals is a glorified defensive stat because you can have a guy that get 3 steals a night, but he's surrendering 15 points because why? To steal the ball, you have to gamble. You have to gamble. And more often, you get burnt gambling. I'm going to tell you this. Back in the day, before they changed how steals was counted, they used to count steals as on-ball taking possession. That means the guy in front of you has the ball. You literally take the ball from him. Or you play the passing lane, you intercept the ball. Now they got steals to where if you deflect the ball and the other guy and somebody else on your team recovers the ball, that counts as a steal for you. You know, so they have changed the way steals are actually counted, just like rebounds. They changed how rebounds are counted. No longer you can tip to yourself and count as a rebound. Someone has to literally be fighting for the rebound with you for it to count. So they've been slight tweaks. I know I'm getting a little too technical with it. But with Amon Shumpert, he doesn't surrender a lot of points to whoever he's guarding. He doesn't. He still plays solid, hard-nosed defense. Yes, he doesn't steal the ball as often as he does, but his minutes are also down, too. If you take away 7 minutes from any player, the numbers are going to go down. That's the nature of the beast. But he's still playing great defense. He still is. Notice the Knicks. I mean, the Knicks was getting offers left and right for him, and they kept him. And teams were willing to give up to get him.
No, I agree. It's like I was saying. I mean, it sounds like we're saying similar things, but I've got a chance to watch the Knicks, and I'm just based off of what I've seen. From in my personal opinion, he's not the same. I haven't seen the same Shumpert on the floor as I did before the injury. That might just be me. But
right. But the thing I'm saying is, at least he's on the floor.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
He's
I think we're okay.
I mean, I'm a Derrick Rose fan, but I'm a Derrick Rose fan. But come on, man. You got to get out there and try. You just have to get out there and see what you got. That's part of it is, and I know part of it is because I was in the Marine Corps. Look, suck it up. Suck it up. If you're hurt, you better be broken. But if you're out there running around and doing everything else everyone else is doing, form it up. We working out. You know what I'm saying? You can't do what I do and then say, but I'm still hurt. Well, don't do what I do. You know what I'm saying? If I'm doing 505 practices and you're doing 505 practices, when the game time comes, don't you dare utter you hurt. If you hurt, be hurt. Sit your behind down on the 505 practices. I don't want to hear it. If you're doing the same thing I'm doing, come game time, don't tell me you still hurt because I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. And I think Derrick Rose need to get rid of those baby balls and get some big ones and just say, I'm going to go out here and see what I got. That's the only thing.
It was interesting. A teammate of his who plays, who recently had a physical setback, an injury on the court, made a comment after the injury, that being Taj Gibson, who suffered an MCL recently, came back immediately. He was out for, I believe, a month for a spring, and then he got an MCL, which is going to keep him out a lot longer. And
right.
The statement that he made, which is why this discussion will always be one of those double-edged sword type of discussion, is that he said, yeah, you know, I had a setback, you know, hopefully I get back to the court soon. He said, but that's what happens when you rush back. To play for the team and you rush back, that's what happens, you know.
He was stupid, dude. He took a month off. A month. What was his recovery time? A month? He should have stayed out 2 to 3 months. That's his fault because he came back way too soon. There's guys that have been injured in the same time frame as Derrick Rose and have all came back. He's the last one to get off the bus. MCL, he came back in a month? That's crazy. Why would he do that? That's like even though Kevin Ware, the kid from Arizona, I'm sorry, from Louisville, that broke his leg, right? The leg was already fractured. He already had a fracture. That's why when he landed on it, it broke. He already had a fracture. It's like, man, I'm really sorry that happened to him. That sucked that happened to him, no doubt. It does suck that happened to him. But, dude, he was playing on a fractured leg. What do you expect to happen? What do you expect? So it's like, dude, you had an MCL tear a month ago. What do you expect to happen when you come back a month later? What do you expect to happen?
He had a spring.
Even better, I'm taking 2 months off. I'm taking 2 months off.
From spring in the body part?
I
just thought that you would have that. You would have said that he should suck it up and get back on the floor.
No. Because the MCL, dude, this is a very important ligament, especially when you play basketball, any sport. It's very important. So that's what I'm saying. If you're given a reasonable time frame to heal, you see what I'm saying? And you're still sitting, and mind you, like I said, if you're doing everything that everybody else that is quote-unquote healthy is doing in practice, don't yell to me, you're hurt. Was Taj Gibson in practice running hard problem fives like everybody else? I promise you he wasn't. Was he out there doing the two-on-twos, the suicides and everything to test his leg? I promise you he wasn't. So there was
That's
nothing
not what
there
the
for
reporter
me.
Said. The on-court reports stated that he was playing up to par, that he was on the same level as his teammates. That he was court ready. According to the people who was watching him on the court, the Stacey King, the same people that say that Derrick Rose is playing pretty well. So the exact same people who on the team and in training staff and all those people thought that Taj Gibson was in A1 shape and was more than capable of coming back to the floor after the spring, which led to this MCL injury afterwards. So according to those same sources, that he was on the court ready. He was running the drills. He was practicing. He was doing the 5-on-5s. He was getting the physical contact. He was playing. He was balling hard. He was ready.
Okay. Well,
so
my
assessment is, for I look at the players who suffered the exact same injury specifically, not the ones who had like the little knick-knack injuries that was out for a while, but those who had a injury that was in line with. I only compare the injuries that's in the same ballpark. And when I look at those players the couple that came back, I just don't see the same bounce. I can even with Avery, and Avery has been balling.
Yeah, he has.
But Avery, one good thing about Avery John, I mean, yeah, one good thing about Avery Bradley, with one positive for him is Doc Rivers. You know, I'm not saying that Avery Bradley has been playing terrible because he's been hooping, he's been balling, you know. But one good thing that's been happening besides, you know, the play of the team as a whole, but a lot of people have been sleeping on how Jeff Green has been balling. Jeff Green has been balling. He's been balling.
And Jeff Green had a far worse injury than all those guys. He had an irregular heartbeat. He had to have heart surgery. And he's out there still playing. So that's the thing. I really want to know what's Derrick Rose's issue.
Green was also off the court for quite a long time as well.
Yes, he was.
He practically was out for a year.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, even when you cherry pick, well, this guy, he suffered a setback. That's what I'm saying. Everyone is not the same physical specimen. Everyone's different. That's why I say Adrian Peterson. You can't expect Adrian Peterson all the time recovery. But when a lot of time is given, and players with a similar injury, with injured basically in the same time frame, and they all have came back, when are you going to come back? One thing about the ACL, it gets stronger as you work at it, as you work it out. It don't just heal on its own. You have to work on it. You have to work it out all the time. That's how you build the strength back. And player after player after player, Avery Bradley, he came back. If I'm a coach, I wouldn't matter too much about how much bounce you got. Can you get the job done? Jason Kidd lost a whole lot of bounce, but can you get the job done? And Avery Bradley's getting the job done. Amon Shumpert is getting the job done. Derrick Rose, can you just get the job done? So what, you can't dunk like you used to, you might have to lay it up. It's still 2 points. 2 points is 2 points. That's how I see it. And I just want him to go out there. I just want him to show where he's at, so he knows psychologically where he's at. Because I promise you, 2-1, it's all mental with him. I bet you. I promise you, 2-1, it's all mental with him. Go out there and see where you at.
I think, based on what I've been hearing, what they've been saying, and it could just be me, but I was under the impression that Derrick Rose understood where he was physically. So I was under the impression that by making the decisions that he was making his decisions based off of his physical ability. Yeah. But I could be wrong. Under the assumption, I just thought that he was not. I thought he wasn't playing specifically because of his self evaluation that he was physically assessing himself, and based on that led to him not playing so far. But I could be wrong. I'm just trying to make sure if you're saying that he's healthy, he can play, and he's just not playing. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
And he's saying that he's not 100% and he can't come back yet.
Right. He's not 100% right in his head. How many athletes openly admit that mentally they ain't ready to come back? You got to say, these dudes got a lot of pride. I mean, they don't want to say, just regular people in their day-to-day job, a lot of times don't want to admit they made a mistake or they're not good at what they do. They just keep on going at it. And I think that with him, it's more psychological than, basketball, like most sports, is more mental than physical. Basketball is definitely one of those sports that you don't have to have all the physical capability, but if you're mentally tough, that sets it off, period. And I think right now, he's not mentally in the game. I think he still thinks, well, I could still probably re-aggravate it. I don't know. This could probably happen. That could probably happen. But the thing is, he could sit out the whole year. It doesn't guarantee he won't re-aggravate it or hurt it even worse next year. It doesn't guarantee it at all.
Oh, absolutely.
Just see where you at.
This is the last one I got about it. This last statement I have about it. I believe, and this is why I said this was one of those double-edged swords type of comments. Mm-hmm. I mean, we both know that, we have people in their various vocations and jobs on a regular basis who don't go to work, be it because they have a cold, they party too long, whatever the case is, and they just don't show up. Now, these are the same people that are saying to Derrick Rose, that, because you got two kinds. You got the ones who call off, but they calling them. Then you have the other ones who are injured, go to work, and then either die at work or cause some more harm to themselves. Neither one of those individuals could give him great counsel when it comes to coming back. I think at the end of the day, and this may be me, but I think at the end of the day, I think the only right course is always going to be with the individual. I think we see so many players who, like you said, they have the pride and they play through injuries and whatnot, and then what happens is down the road, these are the same guys as we've been watching who shoot themselves in the head, who commit suicide, who shoot their girlfriends and whatnot.
Or who
are forever living off of popping pills because they're in so much pain, because on the floor, everything looked good because they had to shoot up and pop pills every day to make just to be on the court. And while we were watching them, we said, oh, well, man, they came back. Everything's good. They're okay. Great. They were able to be competitive and productive and not actually knowing what type of physical impact it had, on people's bodies. And you have athletes who they're not good at PR. They're not good at communicating the message. I noticed that there are players who they make comments, they make statements, and then they have to pay for those sound bites. Now those sound bites are usually only a glimpse of what they're dealing with. And then if you have enough people around them feeding into that same sound bite, then it will give us we'll all start to buy into the idea that, oh well, these players are good because this person said it, that person said it, this person said it. not ever researching and saying, well, this guy works for that organization. That guy works for that organization. All these people that are making these comments work for who? The Chicago Bulls. For example, I'm just throwing that out there.
When I hear those, when
somebody makes that comment, that's just me. I always take all that information in, and I try to assess who's making the comments. If it's media from the outside, and if it's staff members, then I'm like, but then if it's people that are like, that are closer, who know the person, who have, don't really have a reason to go with the stampede, so to speak. They're not signed by the Bulls. Their contract has nothing to do with it. They don't control. So yeah, so that's all. I was just putting that out there.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you. The only hiccup I have with Derrick Rose, and it's the last, it's the one thing that really kills me the most. Don't do what I do and tell me you hurt. That's like when I was in Marine Corps, I got a Marine, and we're going to go run 5 miles, right? All week, we're training and we're running and everything else. But the minute I say, hey, let's go run 5 miles, oh, I'm hurt. You wasn't hurt yesterday. You wasn't hurt the day before. But then after we come back from the run and we say we're going to go do something, oh, yeah, I'm going to go do that too. No. You hurt. You hurt. Be hurt. You can't do exactly what I do and then cry you're hurt when it's crunch time. If you're hurt, be hurt. Don't be coming around bouncing everywhere and you feeling good and practicing everything and you doing everything. Come game time, I'm hurt. We'll keep your ass out of practice. Don't be bouncing around in practice because we're playing you just as hard as if the opponent is playing you and you're fine. But come time to play, you're hurt. I don't want to hear that because you probably feel safe playing with me because, I'm not really having any really bad intentions towards you. Where your competitor, I'm not saying they will have bad intentions, but they're going to play you a little bit harder. That's
so
my thing.
Sit down and don't practice at all.
No, I ain't saying, no. I'm not saying don't practice at all, but don't practice as hard as I'm. Don't do what I'm doing. If I'm going hard, balls to the wall, practicing, and you're going hard, balls to the wall, practicing. If you're practicing at the same level I am, and we're both going hard, we done, we are worn out, come game time, don't tell me you hurt. Because I'm going to tell you.
What if that's what the doctors say to do?
If the doctors say do that, even though the doctors say do that, the body will only allow you to do whatever the body can do. That's it. And just like I've been hurt. I played sports and I've been hurt, and I've still gone to practice. But my level of practice is not as great as a dude who is healthy. I'm a step behind him. I'm like 2-3 seconds behind him. I'm slower than him, but I'm out there practicing to get strong. Now, if I'm as fast as him or maybe a little bit faster than him, I can't turn around and tell him I'm hurt. He gonna say, how you hurt? You're moving as fast as me, or if not faster than me. How you going really with a straight face sit here and tell me you hurt? If you're hurt and you're practicing, you should still be a step or two behind me, but you're getting there. I'm not saying don't practice, but you can't be at my level and then cry you're hurt. That's what I'm saying. And the way that the reports coming out about it, somebody's the 5-on-5 practice and how physical they are, it sounds like really. If I'm his teammate and I know we're running hard and I'm seeing like, yo, dude, you outperforming me and I'm no scrub and you outperforming me, I'm like, come on, dude. You can't tell me you still hurt. I just think with him, he's psychologically not ready for what he thinks can happen. And if that's the case, there's nothing wrong with that. He just like we talked to, what's her name from Clutch Coaching. She said a lot of athletes suffer from that. It's a psychological part I think he just needs to get over. I think he's fine. I think it's just psychologically he just has to get over it. I think we got to move on. We've been on this topic for a while. And I think we're going to agree to disagree on this one.
Yes.
But I'll say this to all our listeners out there. If you do have a comment about this, The number here is 818-739-8830. We would like to hear your comments on the Derrick Rose situation. Also, you can hit us up on Twitter at 5G Sports Talk and tweet your comments as well. Moving on, Byron Scott, doubtful he's going to return to Cleveland. Do you think that's a good move or bad move for Cleveland to relinquish him as their head coach?
Very bad move.
I agree.
How do you replace a Byron Scott, a guy who develops young talent to perform at a competitive level and has a track record for taking teams and turning them into contenders? You don't mess with the mojo. That's what I think. You have a franchise that you're trying to figure out what pieces you want to add to it as a front office. First Cavaliers, you're on notice. Your front office is on notice because first and foremost, whatever he has to work with on the floor is your fault. So that's number one. Number two, you got a guy like Byron Scott who is dealing with physical injuries, and you have players who are young on the team that's already vying for him. That your number one player, he likes to coach. Your other development players like Tristan Thompson, they like the coach. And you know what else is going to happen? Their contracts is going to come up where they become free agents. So you want to make sure your personnel is happy because you don't have a lot of pieces right now that love pieces to smile about. And so if you lose a Kyrie Irving, oh, by the way, he is a L.A. native. By the way, the L.A. Lakers are in need of a point guard. Oh, so he could easily move to L.A. because Kobe is leaving very soon.
Yeah. You know what? You're right. Nothing to argue there. I say Byron Scott, I call Byron Scott the Bill Parcells of the NBA. He take bad teams and make them good. When he was in Charlotte before they went to the Bobcats when it was the Hornets, remember that young kid named Chris Paul? He molded Chris Paul. He made the Hornets a legit playoff team every year. Remember that New Jersey Nets, formerly known as New Jersey Nets? Two NBA finals. Just so happened he had to play Shaq and Kobe's Lakers. Can't knock him on that. But he took him to the finals 2 years ago with the aging Jason Kidd and the unproductive Vince Carter. We all know Vince Carter played well below his potential. Everyone talks about that. But he was, and look what he did to Richard Jefferson's career. Richard Jefferson hasn't been the same since Byron Scott left him. So he has a track record of making players better. If you look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, Anderson Varejao was having his career season under Byron Scott. Deion Waiters, who struggled shooting as a rookie, was having a good rookie campaign until he got hurt, dropping 14 points a night. Kyrie Irving, you can't say enough. He made this kid that only played 16 games in college look like the next LeBron of Cleveland. Not necessarily stat-wise, but I mean, he looked like a savior. You know, he make players better. He understand the players he have, the systems he need to implement to make them better. Look at his track. He just make guys better. I think they just need to give him a little time because if you look at his roster, a lot of these guys are hurt. A lot of these guys don't. He don't have a lot of talent on this team. But if you look at the Cavaliers, you see the potential. Tristan Thompson, when Anderson Varejao, before he went down, everyone was saying Tristan Thompson, man, that was kind of a bust. He's a wash. He ain't doing anything. Tristan Thompson goes down. Anderson Varejao goes down. Tristan Thompson stepped up big time. Since Anderson Varejao been down, Tristan Thompson is averaging 15 and 10, which raised his season average to 9 rebounds, 11 points a night. Really? They was calling this kid a bump. Remember Wayne Ellington, the dude that was drafted by the Wolves? He's having a good year dropping 10 points. This coach make guys better. He just needs a little bit more talent. They don't have to be superstars. If the Cavs fire him, I'm sorry. if he becomes a free agent head coach, Mike D'Antoni, a.k.a. Dan Dummy, a.k.a. the team killer, will get fired, and they will bring Byron Scott into the fold to coach the Lakers. Because this guy makes players
Oh, man,
better.
The Lakers do that. That's
Yeah, the Lakers get him. You know, I'm sorry. The Lakers going to
oh,
be
man, they
gonna, the team
yeah,
coach.
Yeah, yeah, they'll be competitive then.
Yes, they will be highly competitive.
Yeah, the thing, you know, the thing, that, like you said, if the Cavaliers were healthy, you know,
yes.
if they were healthy for a whole season,
yes,
I believe that they would have won much more games. Just even with the pieces that they have now, I think that if with a healthy Vera Jow, Tristan Thompson, Kyrie Irving, if they're healthy
yep.
the whole season, I really believe that their record would have been. It would have been different. In my opinion, I think they would have been competing with the Bucks for
yes.
competing for that AC. But
yes.
yeah, I think that I agree. If you remove a guy like that who works in processes and he works with what you give him,
yes.
and he makes
it
better. I mean, the Cavaliers are not. If you look at the talent, they're very young for one.
Yeah.
But they don't have a lot of pieces. There are a lot of players that are still trying to figure out how, not only who they are as an NBA player, but how to be a complementary role player
yes,
to that roster. How to play
yes.
that part. And Kyrie is one of the guys that he's developed who he has turned on the switch, and that kid is
sensational.
Is in beast mode. And yeah, and to take him off away from that team, you know, that would be a huge travesty for Cavalier
yep.
fans and the franchise as a whole, because it'll be a setback because you have to
it
replace
would.
Him. And I just don't believe
that. And replace him with who? That's the thing. It's like if they do fire Byron, who do you bring in to replace Byron Scott? I mean,
oh, you have to bring in a name of Millen.
You know what? You might have to do better than that, because one thing Byron Scott has as a coach, he's also an NBA champion as a player.
True.
And players
True.
Respect that. Chris Paul, players respect if their head coach was a former player and he was a contributing factor to NBA championships, when he say this is how you get it done, they automatically do it because they're like, he's been there, done that, got the T-shirt. But when you're like if you're a head coach that you've been basically a coach or you was a player but you never won anything, sometimes like Mike Brown, sometimes the players like LeBron James will look at you and say, I won't listen to you. Like look at Miami Heat. LeBron James and Dwayne Wade listens to Eric Spoelstra for one reason, Pat Riley. Proven championship caliber coach. Proven. And when he probably, I bet you Pat had one of them sit down and say, hey, look, Coach Spoelstra is my guy. And Dwayne Wade said this, I want to say when LeBron came, he said he don't want Pat Riley back in the sidelines coaching. He don't enjoy it. And Pat Riley, he said that Pat Riley made that threat. If they don't get it right, Pat Riley will be the coach again. No, it's Miami got it right. They made sure they got it right. They respect what his accomplishments are. And that's the problem that Cleveland is going to have if they let Byron Scott go. Who are you going to find that players will respect his accomplishment? They're used to him. Like you said, they're so used to him. I'm a huge Byron Scott. But what he did with the Hornets was incredible because it was god-awful. And he made them a playoff team. He made them a playoff team. Look what happened to Mecca Okafor after Byron Scott. A Mecca who? Really? No one cares about him. David West, no one cares about him. The only one that's still productive is Chris Paul. Byron Scott has a blueprint. Blueprint. Speaking of blueprint, Carmelo Anthony, 90 points in two
Man
days.
Man on fire.
The Knicks have won their last 10 games. They're the new hot team of the NBA. First we had the Heat, then we had the Nuggets. We even had the Clippers and OKC and San Antonio. Now the
Nuggets
getting there. Now, huh?
Don't forget the Nuggets.
Oh, yeah, the Nuggets. And now the Knicks have gotten in on the festivities. Winners of their last 10 games. Amari Scott, no Amari, no problem. Melo is on fire right now. Can he keep this up? No, he can't keep this up. Let's be honest. But it's a great spectacle right now. Now, Melo is a consistent scorer. Let's be real. And if you look at the quality of wins the Knicks have had, they had some pretty big games that you could say. Utah, that was a big game. Utah needs to win as many games as possible. That was a big game. Plus, there was no Amari, so they was kind of small up front. Orlando, they're pretty big up front. Another big game. They had to beat Toronto because Toronto was winning, won the first two meetings. Boston, big rivalry. They had to win that game. And Memphis, when Memphis had, what's his name? Marcus Gasol was back by then. Mind you, there was no Amari at all. And Amari is a big part of the Knicks, presumably a big part of the Knicks' offense as well as their front court presence. Mind you, with all the injuries ravishing the Knicks. Then they beat Miami. I don't care about the Miami win because no one really played, but they beat Atlanta as well. And Carmelo Anthony and these Knicks, I think they just got hot at the right time. In our chat room, someone posted about the Knicks-Pacers series. If it comes down to that, you know, what do you think? What do you think of the Knicks run right now? And also, you know, their a possible Knicks-Pacers series.
Yeah, that. I really don't want to see that because
you don't
I want
to see that.
The reason why I don't want to see that is I want to see as many teams set up to come at Miami as possible. I don't want to see Miami tiptoe in playing the Bucks and teams like that. I want them to be tested this time because we know that the Eastern Conference isn't as strong as it should be,
right.
But there are some competitive teams in the East, and I would love for them to be in position to play the Heat so that the Heat is not just playing these subpar teams like the Bucks.
Yeah.
Who creeped in, and these pretenders like the Nets. And, I want them to be tested. I definitely want them to be tested, because I believe that, the Heat are good. Don't get me wrong. They're good, having a great year. LeBron is having a dominant year. They're playing pretty well. But they need to be tested in the playoffs. They need to be tested. They don't need to tiptoe. They need to be tested. And so that's the only reason why, that's the only reason why I wouldn't want to see a Pacers and Knicks series, only because I want to see, I don't want them to have to test each other. I want teams to test the Heat.
Right. Well, I'm going to tell you this. Chicago will probably draw Miami if they get past. And, again, going back to Derrick Rose, Chicago can goon it. I tell you, every team needs to have a goon. And if you don't know what a goon is, ladies and gentlemen, it's a player that he's down to do the dirty. I don't mean play dirty basketball, but he's down to get as physical as need be to let the other team know, we ain't playing with y'all tonight. You come in the hole, you better have some soul because you're going to get it. And I think every team needs to have a goon, and Chicago is full of goons, okay? That team is full of goons. Heck, they even had some goons missing the night they beat Miami. And Indiana got some goons, too. The Knicks, they don't have a lot of goons, but the ones that Tyson Chandler, he's a goon. He'll get physical and push. Rasheed Wallace, Kenyon Martin is a goon. So teams that can really muck it up in the paint for Miami tend to give Miami problems. Teams that will get physical with Miami and keep Miami from taking off down the court tend to beat Miami. Now, the trick is you got to beat Miami four times. That's the thing. And for that to happen, either the Knicks or the Pacers are going to have to be hot. They got to be hot at Chicago. You have to be hot to be Miami. Because the thing with Miami is when they get the rebound, they're running. You know they're going to get a rebound, and they're running. Chicago laid down a blueprint. Clog the lane, have your perimeter players jump out on a three-point shooter, and Miami can't score. That's how you do it. And I'm excited about these playoffs. I still think Miami is going to make it back to the finals, but I think this time around, they're going to have to really, really fight for it. And I'm going to tell you this. I still can't count out Boston. I still can't. Even though I hate Boston, like I hate cancer.
I'm hoping that Boston drops to the AC just so they can face Miami.
Yeah, because Boston don't care about Miami at all.
I would love to see a first round series between Boston and Miami. That would be beautiful.
And I think Miami will run out of gas. Because think about it. If they have to face Boston, then they got to face the Pacers, you know, or the Knicks. I think war after war after war after war will wear on them. You know, because mind you, Dwayne Wade's knee is not acting right now. And we all know with the knee, come playoff time, all he has to do is just land a little bit funny and he can hurt his knee again. Because his knee is bothering him now. You lose Dwayne Wade, I'm sorry, LeBron James, as a wrecking crew as he is, this the playoffs. One man ain't going to just beat you. It's the playoffs, you know. And when you got physical teams like Indiana out there ready to punch you in the mouth, they're going to need all the firepower they can get. So Melo dropping 90 right now is great. It's great. But I would prefer them to get hot after they play Cleveland. Because after Cleveland, they get Indiana and the Bobcats and then Atlanta. Right now, they're hot. We'll see what happens. Moving on, do you have any more basketball news for us tonight or today?
What do you think about the Sacramento move to Seattle debate? George Malone.
You know what? But that debate right now is kind of a mixed bag with me. First of all, the owners can do whatever they want to they own the team. Can't debate that. Don't have a problem with it. But there's a lot of jobs are going to be lost, you know. And I don't see how moving to Seattle – that's one thing I don't understand. I don't see how moving to Seattle makes the Kings better, you know. I don't see how it makes them better at all. I don't see how making tax – well, they already got a stadium up there. But moving – look, it's like this, man. It's like – let's say you know a person. Let's say the person stink, right? They can change their clothes, but they still stink. You know what I'm saying? You still got to go take a bath, dude. You still stink. You just got clean clothes on your stank body. And that's the Sacramento Kings. The organization stink. Changing locations is not going to make them better. The only thing it's going to do – they're going to lay off a lot of people. That's number one. And that's really it. And the Maloof brothers is going to get rid of a team and save money. That's it. But I would figure that if you make a franchise move, you're doing it for the better of the franchise. Moving to Seattle, you leave one small market to go to another small market. Really?
Exactly.
I can see if you move in one small market to go to a big market, but you're going to an even smaller market. That don't make no sense.
Yeah,
that has to
be some under the table stuff that we have no idea about.
It has to be, because if the end game is to make money off your team, I'm not moving to Seattle. And you know, look at the Seattle Mariners. They're not even making great money up there. You see what I'm saying? They trying to make. People are asking, how can the Mariners pay King Felix the money they're going to pay him? With what?
Yeah, I think that, and you know, maybe I'm reading into this too much, but I believe that there was a deal that was placed on the table, and I believe that in part of the deal had a lot to do with some great tax benefits and.
Uh-huh.
And some financial compensation from in Seattle that
Gecko.
Yeah, that really enticed them to come that way, because you know we know cities cities have, you know, they make arrangements and provide a variety of different tax breaks and whatnot. And so for big corporations, not small businesses. And so, unfortunately, they keep the small small. And so I think Seattle has provided some lucrative opportunities from a political standpoint that has enticed them to come there, because that there's nothing else about Seattle that would draw you. I mean, you can't say we're going there because we know that we're going to flourish as a organization, because history proves that's not going to happen for basketball. I mean, you've moved out of there enough times to know that that's not exactly the move to make.
Yep.
As some people would say, that ain't the move.
No, it's not. And I'm going to tell you one last thing on this. I equate it to L.A. trying to get a football team, you know. There's a reason the Raiders left. Remember the Rams? The Rams used to be the L.A. Rams. They left and went to San Diego. The Raiders used to be the L.A. Raiders. They used to be Oakland. They came to L.A. and they moved back to Oakland again. There's a reason that teams are leaving. So for the Malou brothers move Sacramento Kings to Seattle, I'm like, why would you do that? The Denver, the OKC Thunder, former Seattle Supersonics, they did everything they could to leave Seattle. That means there were some problems there that they couldn't remedy. Instead of sitting there trying to figure it out, they said, we'll just leave. What makes you think it's going to be any better for you? You see what I'm saying? That's my thing. That's like hiring a guy to be your CFO, your chief financial officer in your company. How about hiring a guy to be that guy for you, and he just got fired from another company? I'm not hiring you. You got fired from them. Why would I hire you? So you can muck it up, but I got to fire you too? That's why I understand why I'm moving to Seattle. The OKC moved for a reason. They moved for a reason. So it's just stupid to me. It's stupid. Newsflash, Danilo Gallinari just suffered an ACL injury. Speaking of ACLs, wow. But, yeah, I wouldn't have moved. Yeah, another one. Bite the dust. But, hey, moving on. Hall of Fame class, not done yet, but they said Gary Payton so far seems to be the only surefire first ballot Hall of Famer. Shouts out to Gary Payton. Good, congratulations. The gloves. One of the best point guards to play, especially defensively sound as can be. Since we were talking about Seattle, throw that in there. Also, the Dallas Mavericks, top five all-time team. Obviously, we all know Dirk Nowitzki is going to make it because he's Dirk. He's been there for so long. But we're going to talk about all the other players that made this list that a lot of people don't know who they are, which I don't understand why. Are they just too young to know that these guys played basketball? At point guard, former Knicks player as well. Derek Harper, career average 14 points, 5.9 assists, with almost two steals a night, played 872 games as a Dallas Maverick. He was replaced by Steve Nash. But at that point, he was really old, wasn't really, you know, hooking and jiving the way they thought he would. He went to the Knicks, had a pretty good career in New York, but he made his staple in Dallas. He was the number 11 pick overall. The Mavericks was an up-and-down team, had some playoffs, but not enough to say it even mattered at all. But he definitely had but Derek Harper was definitely consistent point guard in his tenure as a Maverick. At shooting guard, Rolando Blackman, career average 19 points, 3.6 rebounds, played 865 games. I read an article about Rolando Blackman about a week ago. This guy is cheap. He's a penny pincher. Found out that he's a crossing guard for a local school. And the only reason he's a crossing guard because crossing guards get medical benefits. So he doesn't even pay for his medical. That's the only reason he's a crossing guard, because he don't want to pay for his own medical.
That is cheap. But he wasn't cheap on the court. He was a big shot. He made a lot of big shots in his career. Won a six-man, took home a few all-star appearances as well. Actually, it's kind of funny that Jason Terry, they try to mold him in Rolando Blackman's image, so to speak, as score, 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 score. Let's not worry too much about defense. And that was Rolando Blackman's mold. They tried it with Jimmy Jackson. It didn't go too well. And Jason Terry, it did go well, but we all know the jet took off and went to Boston. But Rolando Blackman was definitely one of the big scorers in Dallas for a long time. Moving on, Mark Aguirre. We all remember this guy. He was a Piston, Detroit Piston bad boy. But he played 566 games as a Dallas Mavericks. It was far more than he did in Detroit. Career average, 24.5.7 rebounds. Small forwards don't rebound anymore, except for LeBron James and Carmelo. Why is that? And Kevin Durant. Can't leave him out. But Mark Aguirre is another guy, 6'6". He was like a power small forward because he had a pretty good low post game as well. Don't send him to the foul line. He will make you pay. He placed third in Dallas franchise with 13,930 points. Dallas franchise scoring history right behind Dirk Nowitzki. Dirk Nowitzki still has it. Well, I take it back. He's taking over number one late last year. But it is what it's going to be. Mark Aguirre was definitely one of the best Dallas Maverick players to grace. And all this was before Mark Cuban showed his mug up. Yeah. Dirk Nowitzki, current Dallas Maverick player, played 920 games as a Maverick. One-time MVP, multiple All-Star selections, NBA champion. Beat the mighty Heat, David and Goliath battle. And that sparked it when the Heat was heckling him, saying he was hurt. And we all saw how that ended. Dirk Nowitzki, 23 points, 8.5 rebounds, 87% from the free throw line. For a seven-footer, shot 38% from the three-point line. Definitely was a facing-the-basket type player. That also played to his detriment when they played the Golden State Warriors in the first round. 5 years ago, and Baron Davis definitely shocked the world by knocking out the Mavericks the year that Dirk got the MVP and had the best record in the league. But with all that said, he will go down as one of the greatest players to play the game, one of the greatest forwards to ever play the game, Germans to be more precise. And last but not least, the Dallas Mavericks, their center. And I'm going to tell you, the Mavericks had a pathetic history when it comes to centers. Pathetic. James Donaldson, not saying he's a pathetic player, don't take that wrong, but James Donaldson was the best center the Mavericks have had, and that's incorporating how many games he has played. He played 484 games, which was more than Tyson Chandler. Career average, 8.9 rebounds, 1.3 blocks a night. Yeah, not much to talk about. Mavericks had a history of bad centers, so to speak. Remember Sean Bradley? Remember that guy? Yeah. Whatever happened to him? Nothing. Herb Williams, another guy. Erica Dampier, like Shaq likes to call him. The only reason James Donaldson really made this list, all-star appearance. That was it. Other than Tyson Chandler, he's the only other center to make an all-star appearance as a Dallas Maverick. And that concludes the Dallas Mavericks' greatest starting five all time. And I ain't gonna lie, that's sad. Their starting five, it's not sad, but when you get to the center position, they don't have a true power forward in Dirk. Mark Aguirre played, looked like he was a better power forward than Dirk. So it's, yes, it's just not all great for Dallas. What do you think of the list? Do you have any comments about this list?
Oh, man. It was a good list. I'm just chuckling at the center position because
yeah.
I was just imagining how challenging it would be to find a center for the Mavericks. So you know,
they all stink. The only one with Tyson Chandler, but he wasn't there long
right.
enough. He only played like 100 200 games. I'm like, oh
exactly.
God, that don't count. So it was pitiful. 10th position. Speaking of 10th position, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. We're going to talk some NFL real quick. Not a whole lot in NFL, which it is, but we're going to cover as much as we can. We will be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
Do you own a business? Are you a model, music artist, church, or ministry group? And need help developing things like logos, websites, flyers, business cards? Then contact Cloud 77 Pro, and they'll be more than happy to help you. With over 10 years of graphic and web design experience, Cloud 77 Pro can take your visual marketing to new heights. Cloud 77 Pro can bring the imagination to life and make the impossible possible. Check them out at www.cloud77pro.com. Also, check around their Facebook page at facebook.com/Cloud77Pro and follow them on Twitter.
As autism numbers grow and funding becomes scarce, we must strive to find ways that open opportunities and expands the mind of those on the spectrum. Artism, The Way to Heal, is a cinematically spirited documentary film story about art and music's transformative power and connection to autistic children. Go to artism.com to show support. artism.com.
And we are back. Yes, it is National Autism Awareness Month. So definitely go to our website, www.5gsportstalk.com. Check out the clip for the documentary. That is just a trailer they're trying to put together. Well, it's a trailer that's put together. And donate whatever you can, 5, 10, 20. So it's been quite a few people that have donated $100, $150, and so on. So definitely go check it out. Donate what you can. It's for a good cause, nonprofit. And definitely go to cloud77pro.com. Like I said, if you have a small business or you're trying to create a small business or you know somebody with a small business that needs a little bit of help with their website, flyers, even their business cards, I've seen some horrific business cards. Definitely go to their website, that www.cloud77pro.com. Follow them on Twitter, like them on Facebook. Moving on, talking NFL. Cameras in the locker room. The NFL is trying to take a conscious effort to combat fans staying at home because it's more convenient to just get up from your sofa and go to the bathroom without standing in line. You're not paying $10 for a hot dog and $20 for a beer. So the NFL is trying to find new ways to bring fans to the games by putting cameras in the locker room during halftime shows. What do you think about this? Do you think it's a good idea? Is it to help the players be more interactive with the fans be more interactive with the players? Stipulations are only fans that are in the stadium will see what's going on in the locker room. And it's only for home teams. The home team. So what do you think of this idea? Do you think it's going to work or do you think they should just stop while they're ahead?
Yeah, I think it could work.
Really? Why you say that?
Well, you know, people like to be near players, so you know, fans like to be around the players and create an opportunity for autographs and things like that.
Well, actually, the thing is, the fans are just gonna watch, like the way it's set up, the way they're gonna set it up.
On a jumbotron.
Like, yeah, the fans are going to stay in their seats. The camera crew is going to go in the locker room and watch the team do whatever they do in the locker room. And I'm going to tell you, anybody that's played any sport, you don't want the cameras walking into the locker room because that bleep button will be in full effect. I don't think it's going to be a good idea because it's going to be a whole lot of MFers and F-bombs. And I can't stand this MF of chop blocking me on the line. And I don't think that's going to be a good idea. I don't think I thought about the language.
Yeah, and I don't see what the fans, you know, would get from that. I was on, you know, when you made that statement, for some reason I pictured like people actually getting an actual tour within the locker room. I don't know how they would do that, but that's what I pictured. And so something like that, I think people would be more interested in being able to get autographs and whatnot close up with the players. If you could do something like that where the players,
you know what,
make the players available.
A day, you just came up with one of the most ingenious ideas and you don't even know you did it yet. They should have, like when fans come to the stadium to watch the game, right, pick at random ticket holders. Pick five ticket holders, right? Whoever's sitting in seat, blah, 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 come on down. Those five people get to go into the locker room. That would make fans come because it's like a lottery. You know what I'm saying? Who will win a chance to go into the locker room? You know what I'm saying? To meet and greet the players. Even though the players may not be in the mood, but it'd be like quick. You know, they go in there, get a couple of pictures, shake some hands, whatever. You know, halftime, you know, do it like the first 5 to 10 minutes because coaches like to use the halftime for game planning for the second half. You know what I'm saying? But if they did, you know what? That's an ingenious idea. If they did that, more fans would probably show up to the game. If they just take five fans down into the locker room, that will probably work. Thinking with an ingenious idea. So if it happens, hey, you better sue the NFL because you came in first. Hey, we got it on tape. That would be a good idea, but hey, you know, Roger Goodell's just not that smart. Speaking of smart, remember how we was talking the past couple of shows about the NFL owners purposely dwarfing players' contracts by just cutting them, saying you take this contract a walk. Remember that? Well,
absolutely.
Well, now, tell me why now. DeMarcus Smith is now asking agents if they can help prove that there's been any collusion amongst the NFL owners to help dwarf player salaries in free agency. We all know the only player in free agency to collect a contract that's going to pay him $10 million a year was Mike Wallace. After that, there is no one else. And he said the NFL Player Association Union, and he's upset that he believes, like we believe, that the owners have gotten together and purposely said we will not sign players for this amount of money anymore and make them all stick to it. Now, you know my feeling on this. If the owners did that, so what? It's their money, their team.
Yeah.
Their business. They can do that. Mm-hmm. They can say, look, we're not paying nobody this much of anything. I understand DeMarcus Smith trying to get the players to get as much money as possible. That's what they hired him. That's what they hired him to do. But at the end of the day, you can't tell an owner you have to pay the players a contract of salary of $8 million or more. You can't. This is America. The NFL is a privately owned team. It's privately owned. The only public team is the Green Bay Packers. But after that, the owners can say, we don't want to pay you whatever we don't want to pay you, and it's not money.